Right, so we just mentioned, in just a brief discussion here, we don't have any agenda, but I was just talking about, as he was discerning some of the more subtleties of that parable of the sower, and then you made a comment, Diane, that you heard a message like that when you're in Cape Henry, which was founded by Major Ian Thomas?
Well, yeah, they talked about, and you can correct me, but it's like he said, they went through all these different types of soils, just kind of like we did just now. But then he said, so you picture like a farmer throwing seed. Well, if the soil is like visibly all rocky or thorny, he's not going to put seed there. So he said, it all looked the same, like very good soil, but what was underneath? And that's when it's like, I just remember hearing that and being just so struck and being like, just beating in on it. Like, Lord, I want that hundredfold. I want that good soil. So if there's thorns or rocks there, you deal with it. You clear out that soil. Because it's like, I was horrified at the thought that it could all look the same, like a beautiful place to plant stuff. I mean, for some reason, I pictured green grass, but I guess you wouldn't plant on green grass. But whatever. It's like, but what is underneath? And it just still is like that thought, I want that full reward. I mean, every single, sometimes I go, don't choose that, and I choose to do something else instead. I mean, it's easy to do.
Well, but it's like, Lord, those little places, we just get back on course.
Then you get back on course, and when the Lord shows you, and it's like, but it's like, I just remember hearing that message always stuck with me at Cape Henry, and that's where. And then when I came here, and you taught about the eternal purpose of God, or I began to understand that. I linked it with that hundredfold message, and it's just like, it just was something the Lord put in my heart. It's like, that's what I want so much.
Well, that's a hard issue. I want what you want, Lord. So here's my heart. So he's.
And then it was after that I just was like, fine, if you want me, you come to me. And then everything kind of went down and then brought me here.
Yeah. For me, what I've had to learn with that, I think that you should
get it. I don't know.
As I think about that also, when you think of 100-fold, 60-fold, when you're doing your regular job, you want to get the most money out of it that you can. And so you're striving for that. Mm-hmm. Well, when it comes to spiritual life, in my mind, you have a tendency to try to strive for that hundredfold, and then say, "Oh, wait a minute. I really don't need to worry about that hundredfold, 60-fold, or 30-fold. My number one concern needs to be on, am I centered in Christ? Then the hundredfold will be taken care of. I don't need to worry about it."
Yeah.
However, He wants to have that happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of
what.
Focused on. Think about it. It's just the number one goal is to have Christ filled in me, and I don't need to worry about where the folds are at.
That's Philippians 3.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think about Paul's prayer, the Holy Spirit's prayer, that we would know the hope of our calling, which is that eternal purpose and the riches of glory of His inheritance in His saints. How many messages have you heard of what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints? And Sparks would say His is Christ. I look at the subject there, I think it's the Father. So either way, it's a win-win situation. But I think the subject there is the riches of glory of His inheritance. Yeah, that's God the Father. What is that? The fullness of Christ. He's the heir. So if Christ is number one, and we continue to adjust no matter what, where we fail or we keep going on. If it's sin, we confess our sins. If we need a course correction, we make the course correction. And we walk in the light that He has given us. And as the faith that involves action, that's James. James 1 and 2. If we say we have faith and I don't see your works, your faith is dead. And it's not an issue of are you saved or not.
Yeah.
It's an issue, are you going to be like Abraham and become the friend of God? Because that's the illustration there. His faith was perfected when he offered up Isaac. And he became the friend of God. So it is a faith without works is dead. That's what James said. And of course, when people read that, they think, well, now that's in conflict with Paul. Are you kidding me? how can James be in conflict with Paul? That's why I think it was Luther, or it was either Luther or Calvin, says it's a right straw epistle and thought it should be removed from the canon. Huh? Luther, yeah, Luther. Justification by faith alone in Christ alone. Well, absolutely, being in that Catholic system all these years, and he reads Romans 3, and he sees that his faith is the issue, then he reads James. The conflict is his misunderstanding of what James is saying. James is not talking about a faith that just justifies by faith alone. He says that Abraham was justified, but was he justified by his faith or by his works? He was justified by his works. What kind of justification? When he offered up Isaac, it was fulfilled. That faith that was righteousness at the moment, by analogy of faith in Christ, came to full development, and he was justified by his works. They're complementary. The evidence that we have a faith that is just, that we've been justified in Christ, in James is, okay, then we will see it. That's very simple. If that causes tension, it should. If that causes a problem, you don't throw out James as a right straw epistle. You need to get back and say, oh, well, his faith was perfected by his works, you see? And that is, in James, I think, 1:19, is the salvation of the soul.
Maybe it's like it's brought to that measure. Would that be another way to think of it?
Yeah, but it's what it says. I'll just very quickly, because James is... You know, James is taking a lot of hits. He's a half brother of Jesus Christ.
It's not the like that you'll lose your salvation, but it's that manifestation, that full blooming, as it were, of that faith. Because they really remember Hines being in high places, he put that thorn in her heart. And then she went all the way through, and then it was in full bloom. It was a full-blown flower.
This is in James, just James 2:14. I'll just read through it real quickly. I'll just make a quick comment. What use is it, my brethren, if a man says he has faith, but he has no works? Can that faith save him? So what salvation is he talking about? James 1, verse 21, the salvation of the soul. What salvation is that? It's a sanctification salvation. It's not born-again salvation. Can that faith save him in terms of the soul being sanctified? James 1:21. If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one says to him, go in peace, be warmed, and be filled, and yet you do not give him what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead by itself. So he's talking about faith. Those who are professing Christ, those who say they have faith in Christ, they've been justified by faith, it's dead. That's what he's saying. It's dead. He's not saying you have to do works to get saved. He's saying if you're truly saved, there will be works. That's what he's saying. There will be work. There's going to be fruit. You can't have God's life in you and not have fruit. Or you need to, like it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, you test yourselves and see if you're in the faith. That's what Paul said. So he says, someone may say, well, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe God is one, you do well. The demons also believe, and they bear fruit that they believe. You know what the fruit of a demon believing? They shudder. That's works. There's an effect. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? It means no fruit? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works? Now, Genesis 15:6, Paul throughout Romans 3, Galatians 3, Romans 4 says that Abraham was justified by faith. So what's he talking about? Is this a conflict? No. No, not at all. This is like a wisdom passage. So let's notice this. Notice the wording. There is no conflict where Paul says we're justified by faith apart from works. Romans 3. There is no conflict here. Now let's notice. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac on the altar? Well, Romans, Genesis 15:6, he believed God and was imparted him a righteousness. That's years before. So as evidence that that was a valid faith, where faith alone in Christ alone, as we have the New Testament, is what justified him, years later that faith was brought to fruition and there was an evidence that it was a real faith. So here's what he says. Was not Abraham of our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? That's many years after Genesis 15:6, where he said he was justified by faith. So that faith that he was justified by had an outworking. And it's when he offered up Isaac. So notice what he says. You see that faith was being energized with his works. What is that? For us, it's a real living faith in Christ. It is there, and it's being energized with his works. And as a result of the works, faith that he already had is perfected. And that's what I think you were just bringing out. The faith is brought to perfection. In other words, as the Greek would say, it matures, it reaches the divinely intended goal. It's perfected. And the scripture, here it is, look at the word, fulfilled. Fulfilled, which says, and Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. That's the Genesis 15:6. Romans 4:3. When you believe in Christ, that faith alone in Christ alone is imputed to righteousness. But is the scripture fulfilled? Not yet. That's why we have a whole life here on earth. That's why we have John 15. I am the vine, you are the branches. Abide in me, and I in you, and you shall bear much fruit. And then I think verse 16 says, and that the Father desires that you bear much fruit, and your fruit would remain. Okay? So he says, and the scripture, it's key to get the words, fulfilled. Which says Abraham, when he believed in God, by analogy, the New Testament doctrine is salvation by faith alone in Christ alone, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. And so, not in Genesis 15:6, he was still Abram, but now he's Avraham, so he was called a friend of God. That's maturity. That's complete. That's a faith that has a fulfillment or a perfection. It would be illustrated when Abraham offered up Isaac and became the friend of God. So you see that a man is justified by works. Notice the word see. You see. That's a key. It's about what we see. You are professing we have real faith. Then what do people see? You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. No conflict. This is not a salvation born again. This is a faith that is working because it is a demonstration that it is a true faith. So you see that man is justified by faith and not by is justified by works and not by faith alone. And the same way was not Ahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messages sent out the other way? When they came in there, she's already in her heart a proselyte. She already has the faith of Abraham. But to prove to demonstrate that faith was there, she lied to her heathen contemporaries and said, no, they're not here anymore. They went out another way. In other words, a Holy Spirit governed lie, blessed by God. Just same as the Hebrew midwives. When they said, what happened to all these babies? Well, they told a lie. Why? Because there would have been destruction of the heathen people. Like, if somebody comes in and you're hiding Jews in your house and a Nazi stands there, you hiding Jews here? Oh, I'm a Christian. I shouldn't tell a lie. That is so stupid. You know, anybody would say that, you know, God's going to frown on me if I look in the Nazi in the eye and I said, no, he's not. That we don't have Jews here. We don't even like Jews. I could look him right in the eye and say, I don't even like a Jew. I'm a German. I could do that and sleep well at night. See? And not have any conscience about it at all. See? So Rahab, she received the messages and sent them out another way and lied to the contemporaries about what happened to them. They were hiding on the roof. Now notice, for just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. So we're looking at spiritual fruitfulness. Dead. So if we have any deadness in our life, Lord, if I I have faith in you, Lord Jesus. I want that faith to come alive, and I am, as a member of the body of Christ, I want your life that's in me to be released in whatever way you choose. And I know that it's going to involve a cross, and I'm willing to deny myself and pick up my cross and follow you, because it doesn't matter how I feel. If you show me exactly what you want me to do, I will not consider my soul or my comfort. I will deny myself. I'll pick up my cross and follow you, and there will be fruit. There will be fruit. And anybody can look at anyone who's picking up the cross and dying themselves, and you're going to know in that person's life if there's fruit or not. You're going to know. You're going to be able to see that fruit. So thank you for that reminder. So anything else? Any other thoughts, comments, or questions about what we heard today?
I just wanted to add, because I was thinking of Corrie Ten Boom's story, because she was really exercised regarding her sister-in-law or somebody who couldn't tell a lie. And here she was it Betsy? Okay. And so she couldn't tell a lie, and so and she knew it and was just infuriated that she would expose the Jews that she was hiding. And so here was the story, is according to her faith, she told the truth. When the Germans came, where are the Jews? They're under the table. They looked under the table. There was a trap door. They didn't see it, and they were saved. But that was according to her faith.
That's fine.
Yeah, I thought that was really, really neat. So it was her conviction and her faith. I'm going to tell the truth and honor you. And then God took responsibility of what that conviction was.
So if I looked at my face and there are no Jews, he would honor that too.
Yeah, exactly. And that's how I am. Mm-hmm. That's how I would be. Yeah. I have no problem doing that. But I thought about that, because I'd be like Corrie.
Yeah, the Lord was faithful. That's
yeah,
the key.
Right. Faithful. Yeah, it's according to their faith.
Anything else? All right. Well, Father, we thank you for your word, and we just commit our day to you and our remaining time with your blessing and grace. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.